here is the gentleman that I have been telling everybody about for the past couple of days. It is none other than Mr. Judd Lander. Hey, Judd.
Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for that. That was awesome. That was awesome. Thank you very much indeed. How are you doing today?
Well, very well, actually. Just been on the phone to America. Had a chat with our little American friends.
Cool.
Well, there was a funny call. I got a call from, where was it? I think it was Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And it was a company. I'm trying to get a harmonica done. The little story. I saw, name dropping, McCartney the other week. I was in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this school called Lipper, which is a Liverpool Institute for the Arts. And he has given out all his certificates. And we went back at the end, you know, canapes and shampoo as you have.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And all decadent stuff. And I'm walking along and I could see him holding court with all these people. Well, obviously he was bored because he put his hands in his pocket. And he said, Joe, come here. And I'm looking, wondering what was happening. And he brought out a little mini harmonica and started playing it. So I just creased. I mean, a little joke. So I've been calling America. I'm getting a little surprise from a little harmonica from America. So, I'm letting it out of the bag, so you'll know. But anyway, yeah, so an English guy in America is quite funny.
Yeah.
I want to chat with this guy with a real East End London accent going, all right, now what do you want? Yeah. But anyway, there you go. So what's up now? Is it up there?
We're fine. The thing that you were saying you were at there the other week, you would have been with Simon Britton as well.
Sorry?
Did you meet Simon Britton when you were there as well?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Simon?
He got a doctorate or whatever they call it.
Right. Do you know Simon, yeah?
No. I think he knows me now.
He's
a reputation, probably.
He's quite good friends with us up here.
Oh, is he? Yeah, lovely guy. I mean, they and Janice Long, of course, the Radio 2 presenter, she got a doctorate. So I'm the only one that didn't. I kept on saying to Paul, come on, when's it my turn? And he told me to go, you know, do a run and jump. But no, we get on well. I played with Paul many years ago on one of his albums.
That's right. I was reading that in your bio that I got sent up by Adam. Hi, Adam. Hi, Chris and everybody else
company. Hopefully they're working in the office. So if they're not, I'll kick them up the bum.
Yep, but, definitely.
McCartney, he's so fond. He loves Scotland galore.
Yeah.
And I remember that many, many years ago, he'd done a charity concert, Campuchia, at the Odeon Hammersmith in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the audience. And I had actually laid some pipes down, the bagpipes. I played bagpipes on the side as well. I'd laid some pipelines down for a mellotron, because when Linda and he went on tour, she'd, play the pipe part of Mulligan Tire.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, at this concert, the idea was he'd do his set with all the guests, Pete Townsend and everyone, and then it would get to the bit where he'd done the Mulligan Tire, and then a piper would be revealed. He turns around, looks up, there's a piper up there, and off the piper parts go. But the piper was ill. And I'm in the audience, and they managed to find me, and they said, Judd, have you got your bagpipes with you? As if you walk around with a set of bagpipes.
Oh, yeah.
I said, no. He said, where do you live? I said, Hampstead. They put me in a limousine, fired me back to Hampstead. I got the full kilt back at home, the full Highland regalia, put it all on, got back, and just as Mulligan Tire was about to kick off, they pushed me up onto the top. Well, McCartney's face, when he turned around and suddenly saw me up there, it was like one of those, what are you doing up there, Judd? It's very, very strange, but there you go.
I can just imagine him sort of looking at you thinking,
How did he
get up there? He was in the audience 10 minutes ago.
I know, it's very bizarre. But I've worked with a couple of beautiful Scottish people. Maggie Bell I worked with, Maggie years ago. A Suicide Style album.
That's right, yeah.
And Nazareth, I worked with the guys there. They gave me great credit. They called me Cuddly Juddly on the album.
Oh, bless them.
Yeah, they were lovely guys, actually, Dan and the boys. And, of course, the Proclaimers, I've done a wee bit with them.
Yes, Craig and Charlie.
Aye, so, I should move up there then, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should come and stay with us up here.
I'd love to.
We would love to have you, actually.
Oh, well, I'm cuddly. They'd all love me, I think.
I've seen pictures of you and you're sweet. You're really sweet.
I am.
How did you get into the business. So for people who don't know how you got into the business.
Well, do you know what? It's funny you should say that, because I'm now starting to write a book. Everyone sort of asked me about how it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you can tell from the accent, I'm a Scouser, but a bit of a posh one now, being up in London too long. But I started off in Liverpool in the 60s playing with a band called The Hideaways. And we were the first band to be signed up by the Cavern Club agency when
right.
the Beatles and the Merseybeats had all, escaped to London. They decided to try and capitalise on the Liverpool scene. So we were with the Cavern agency, and we ended up, and we still hold the world record for performances at the Cavern. And even the new Cavern now, we're playing there on the 5th of September on a Sunday. We still play the Cavern, the old band. And I mean, we've got one who's a radio presenter, Frank. The guitarist is in Johnny Depp films. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm the fool. I'm in London. And we still get together. And so it's fab. It really is good. So I'm still doing it. But that brought me to London, long-winded way of saying, being in Liverpool, the music scene took me to London. And ended up being very lucky and staying with the Beatles road manager whilst I found a flat. And then that got me into the business by default. So I ended up working for a record company to pay the rent money
yeah.
and doing harmonica session work to get extra funds. And so the two worked hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And people would phone me up saying, Judd, love you to play on a session. And the Nazareth thing came around because I was with a company called Charisma Records, and Nazareth were sort of on the adjacent company housed in the same building. So Dan would come up and say, look, Judd, we're doing a session down the road. We'd love some harmonica. Could you come and lay something down? And it's sort of like mates, really, that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the session world is a rather incestuous one. And, you get to know people, and fixers know you, and it works like that. It's like your game in the radio, you know,
yeah.
you've got a reputation. You know, you're mingling with so many other people of a similar background.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. It's just that, I mean, what I'm reading here, your brief musical history, as they put it, is absolutely amazing. It's just like you've worked, it is like the who's who of the music industry, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are so many things, and it's all, you know, I keep on saying it's lucky breaks that sort of mm-hmm. popped up. I mean, you know, my academic background, I was a dunce at school, and it was just using your common sense and being polite and courteous that really got me on.
Yeah.
Obviously, a little bit of talent with the old harmonica. But, I ended up director at CBS Records, working with ABBA, Michael Jackson, and people like that. Then I ran Motown for a year.
I was going to ask you about that, Motown. How was that running?
Oh, that was, it was a year of hell because it was rather complex. Motown, they were coming to the end of their contract with RCA Records at the time,
mm-hmm.
and the pressure was on, you know, there were clauses and penalty clauses, and I was basically piggy in the middle and trying to keep everyone happy. But I did end up going to Motown's 25th anniversary in Pasadena,
right?
And that was where I'd worked with Michael before Motown,
mm-hmm.
so I met up with him and his management while I was in L.A., Then we went to Pasadena to see the show, and Michael had set me off. He was going to do his new single, and it ended up he'd done the moonwalk. That was the first time ever he did the moonwalk,
wow.
and it just the whole auditorium just stood up. It was like you couldn't explain it. And Diana Ross, of course, Diana threw a wobbly on stage. It was a bit embarrassing, but yeah, there was a lot of fun there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, while I was there, again by accident, they put me into the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
Ooh,
and the problem was the guy had given my room away. And I got upgraded. And I was in this palatial suite. Well, you can imagine, suite to myself. It's like phoning up all my mates. Hey, come on, we're going to have a party. And it turned out to be 2 years later, I'm looking at Pretty Woman, the film. And mm-hmm. I suddenly said, I know that room. And that's the room I stayed in.
Oh, wow, that is amazing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, it could have been the Holiday Inn down the road, but I got the posh one.
No, I actually read that somewhere about that the incident with the hotel room. I read it somewhere, I can't remember where I read it.
Yeah.
But I did read it in one of your biographies about the hotel room. Imagine giving your hotel room away.
Sorry?
Imagine them giving your hotel room away. That's terrible.
Well, no, it's typical America. I mean, if somebody comes along and throws the right, you know, a couple of bobs down the pocket, you know, they. But you know, it worked in my favour on that occasion. I could not believe my luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a great time. But LA is so funny. I mean, because I used to go over there quite a lot with all the major labels. And I remember taking Banana Drama over there. They were playing Universal Stadium, which is just up the road from... we were staying at the Sunset Marquee, which is the really cool, trendy place to stay.
Right, yeah.
And, I walked into reception, got the girls into the bedrooms and sorted out. And as I'm walking past the pool, Richard Harris was holding court. Richard being a, you know, famous actor.
Yeah.
60s, 70s, you know. And he's holding court with all these film people. And he heard me talking. And he turned around and went, "Are you all right?" So I said, "Yeah, yeah, thanks." He said, "I must have a drink. Not many English folk over here." So I said, "Yeah, we'll do." This went on all week. We never ever got to do that drink.
Never had that drink.
Very bizarre. And when I was in London, I remember walking down South Moulton Street, and Richard Harris was walking along with his entourage, and he looked at me, and it was one of those looks as if, "I know you from somewhere."
Mm-hmm.
And I just carried on. It's quite funny. But there you go. A little showbiz stories.
Yeah, it's amazing.